Africans at home and throughout the diaspora. Unity is strength. We've got the power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now's the time to do the right thing.
We need more unity.
That's right. That's right. This is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield. And we are in the midst of some crazy times, some perilous times, but also some encouraging and inspirational times. So I think we have to balance it out. Yes, there's all this negativity, but there's so much positive energy in the world. We have to amplify it, intensify it, and focus it. I think that's where we are right now. There's plenty of anger, plenty of outrage, but now we need to translate that into some real action. And it's happening. It's happening in the halls of our legislature. It's happening on the streets. It's happening, in our organizations. And so really it is a time for us to act like we're alive and woke. And I just reminded myself before the show that I forgot to mention last week that Bob Law transitioned. And many of us in the movement, the Black Liberation Movement, remember Bob Law from the 80s. He was, I don't know if he was the first national talk show host, but I'm going to tell y'all, I certainly lost lots of sleep because he was on from like midnight to 6 a.m. Okay. Who has a talk show, a relevant talk show, those hours? But many of us try to hang in there after your full day's work. And sometimes we made it and sometimes we didn't. But he definitely helped to inspire and inform us of national and international events with that very spectacular voice of his. He had a voice like Bernie Hayes. You felt like if you heard it, you could do anything. So we know that he made his mark here, and we certainly are going to have a real loss in radio land, because he really was working around to the very end around making sure that folks were involved and informed. And so, yeah, right up to the very end. So the other thing that happened last week, y'all, for those of you all listening, you know that we didn't even broadcast live until almost halfway through the show. We didn't know that. And so what you have is half of Chairman O'Malley talking about the upcoming activities of the African People's Revolutionary Party, African People's Socialist Party. Sorry about that. And so I'm not going to go through the conspiracy theory stuff, but yeah, I was just interested that he was talking about the pre-dawn raid by the FBI on the Uhuru 3. So I said, okay, yeah. So I was trying to figure out if anybody had actually videotaped or recorded it, and so far nobody has. So it is what it is. So what can you say? But you know, we moving forward, and we know that there's still a lot of things going on. To this month is in April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and you all know how I feel about these weeks and months. We should be doing this stuff every day. We should be aware of child abuse prevention every day, every hour of the day. But this is a month that we really focus on it and really see what's going on, how we can better protect our children, both in our homes and in the community. Lots of things are going on with our children. And I can tell you, and our guests will agree with me, that domestic abuse, and that is the abuse that happens in the home, but also interpersonal abuse, happens in economic crises. So when people are fighting about money, about finances, when they don't have money in their pocket to do what needs to be done, they take it out on somebody. And usually that's the folks closest to them, no matter how much they love them. That's just human behavior. So that's why it's really important for us to get a handle on what's going on now, because our children are the most vulnerable. They're the ones who feel the brunt of all of the political and economic shenanigans that's going in. And that's totally unfair. They didn't ask for that. They can't fight against that. So they rely on people like us to do that on their behalf. And sometimes we don't do a very good job. And so April, Child Abuse Prevention Month. Next week, ironically, is National Crime Victims' Rights Week. And I was thinking, okay, we are victimized by Trump and the MAGA folks. So yes, I feel like a victim, but you know, you don't stay a victim. You become a survivor when you fight back. And so we're going to be having lots of ways that you could fight back here. But, you know, what can I say? I've been asking for the invocation of Amendment 25 for almost a year. And folks are finally beginning to talk more about them, because obviously the man in the White House, the man who has his hands on the button, is unhinged and unfit for this office. So we know about the Easter rant, where he pretty much cussed out the folks in Iran. The latest is that he, you know, did an AI-generated photo of him looking like Jesus Christ, for those of you all who are familiar with that religious figure. And he caused quite a backlash. Now, he had already angered almost 2 billion Muslims around the world when he came out against, his other rants. Now he's got a billion Catholics on his case. First of all, why would you pick a fight with the Pope? Really? That's where we're going? That's why we know he's unhinged, y'all. So all of the stuff we see him doing is totally irrational, never done before by any other president, no matter how stupid and goofy they were. They just never crossed the lines like he's doing. And so, yeah, he had to take that down. Probably one of the only rants that he's taken down, which meant that people really did get to him around that. But all of this, y'all, is just telling us that this man is not fit. And the more that he does this crazy stuff, not only is he putting himself in danger, but he's putting all of us in this country in danger. Because when you start talking about people's mamas, talking about their killing their fathers, talking about their religion, then really it's hard to protect yourself from that. I'm from the school of Malcolm X, who said, keep your religion in the closet. That's the best way to do that. And sometimes it's hard, but I really tried to practice that. So I don't really talk about people's religion. Whatever you believe in is fine with me. What I need to know is that you're going to fight for the liberation of humanity. So whether you're Muslim, a Christian, atheist, whose side do you stand on? So that's where I am. And I, like I said, he's now got like 4 billion people like looking at him with cross eyes, wondering what's wrong with you. And we're going to start to feel the brunt of that. I know that, because that's the way people are. And sometimes this might come in the form of individual attacks on people, random attacks, because sometimes people are not well. We've seen that too. We've seen people, for example, the person who came after the AI CEO. I don't think that he was in his right mind. But you know, you push people over the edge with your politics and your economic policies, and then they have nowhere to go. So I think we'll see more of that in the future, in terms of people just needing space. They need therapy, they need some healing, they need some love, and all of that that comes with that. So where are we with this war, y'all? First of all, the shock and awe didn't work. That couple of days we were going to completely like obliterate them, even though your president had said we obliterated their arsenal back last year. And now we know that that's not true, because good gracious, they shot an F-16 right out of the sky. Look at that, $30 million, poof. So P.P. Hesburgh has said, this is the war that we're going to win. And here we are in the fifth week, y'all. The fifth week, prices have gone up. Economists are talking about maybe a recession, but we know inflation's up. We got everybody looking at the U.S. with cross eyes, because one, didn't include the allies, whether you were talking about the EU, whether you're talking about the G7, none of the people that have been friends with the U.S. are now as close as they used to be. They can't be. First of all, you didn't consult them about the war, but then you asked them to come join the war. Then when they didn't, you talked bad about them and put some tariffs on them. What are we doing? We are not in a position, y'all. I hate to tell you this, for those folks who think we got the greatest military in the world. We don't have the advantage here. We have given the advantage to Iran. And I know people talk about Iran, but they have a right to defend their country, and they are doing that. So guess what? The Strait of Hormuz folks still can't get through, except for some people. Because remember when our president said he's going to do some blockading himself and he's going to stop all this stuff from coming through. And guess what happened yesterday? A Chinese ship came right on through there in front of all those naval ships, US naval ships, and they didn't blink an eye. So we got people playing Daria, and the people that are suffering are going to be the people in these countries around the world. So the quicker that we pull that man out of that seat, the quicker that we make our elected officials accountable who can pull him out of that seat, the better off we all will be. Because again, this thing is going to escalate. Right now you got bullies. This is going to escalate. So we have to keep our ears and eyes open. But one interesting thing that's happened, people are now getting more information about Iran. We are a country that we don't know geography, we don't know people, we don't know other folks' culture, we don't even know really our own history, to be honest. And folks are saying, wait a minute, okay, we bombed a girls' school, which is, illegal. So they're war criminals now amongst us. I thought they didn't allow women to be educated. Well, I hate to tell you this, y'all, but the Iranians have like a 99% literacy rate around female juveniles. 99. You know where the US is in terms of global literacy? 36. So people are like, okay, look at what maybe we haven't been told all that we need to know. And when people start saying governments kill their citizens, who's killed more citizens than our government? Whether it be police violence, whether it be folks who've crossed picket lines, I'm talking about overtime, whether it be folks who don't get health care, those are all homicides under our government. And so sometimes we can't be pointing fingers at folks. We need to look at what's going on in our own backyard. So, and speaking of in our own backyard, we're going to talk about Missouri. We get ready to talk about what's going on in Missouri's backyard. And we have back with us two guests that you've heard from before. Kay Mills, who's the policy director with Jobs with Justice, and who is our ears and eyes in the state legislature. Thank goodness we have her there and some other folks, because we can't keep up with it, y'all. And we also have, she's here with us with a beautiful picture, Jamie Johnson. And Jamie is a former state rep from Kansas City, Missouri. And so we've tapped into her legislative expertise, and she's now for this time being the executive director of People Not Politicians. So welcome back to the show, you all.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with you, Jamie, because we had some recent rulings on the gerrymandering, and I was told that's the correct way to say it, not gerrymandering. So I'm going to
Okay.
say gerrymandering. So we've been dealing with this whole thing for what now, almost 2 years, because there was the collection. Can you get bring our listeners, our viewers, up to date on like why we have a People Not Politicians and where we are and some of the recent rulings by the courts?
Absolutely. So we have the recent rulings. Well, let me go back. So People Not Politicians filed a referendum petition on the House Bill 1 that was a special session that was created during a special session of the Missouri Legislature last year, 2025, which created new congressional boundaries that we don't think are fair. And so our Missouri Constitution gives us the constitutional right to overturn any act of the legislature through a referendum. And I want to make it clear that a referendum process is not easy. You have to collect hundreds of thousands of signatures in a very short window of 90 days in order to force a public vote on a legislative action, any act of the legislature, which is important. So That's what we did. We filed a referendum. Fast forward a whole bunch of months and a whole lot of lawsuits. The latest updates on the lawsuits, Luther B. Hoskins, that was heard by the Missouri Supreme Court, found that we filed that law, or that lawsuit was filed to challenge the fact that the legislature did gerrymandering outside of the census window. Our Missouri Constitution connects redistricting to the act of a completed census. So that is what our understanding was of when the legislature could redistrict the congressional maps. So Luther V. Hoskins found that while the Constitution does connect those two events, it does not say that's the only time that the legislature could act in terms of redistricting. So the Missouri Supreme Court basically gave the Missouri State Legislature a green light to redistrict whenever they want to, really. The second case that I want to highlight is Baggard versus the State of Missouri. That's Baggard, M-A-G-G-A-R-D. I've said it a couple times. People are like, Baggard versus? No. Baggard, M-A-G-G-A-R-D versus the State of Missouri. That case was the case to determine which maps were in effect currently. So as I think a lot of people may not know, even though we filed the referendum, even though we turned in over 300,000 signatures from across the state, the Secretary of State for Missouri has been acting as if the maps, the HB1 maps, have gone into effect. So they are registering candidates to run in 2026 with the new maps. All of these things. Our understanding of the Constitution was that once the signatures were turned in, as they are being verified, our understanding was that once the signatures are turned in, as they are being verified, there is a pause on the legislation until we have verification and the people can vote, and it goes on to the ballot. In Baggard, the Cole County Circuit Court Judge Stumpy ruled that because the signatures have not yet completed verification, that it's okay for that law to go into effect, which is a vast and extreme departure away from the 100 years of precedent and the last 27 referendums that we've had in the state of Missouri. We've done this now 27 times, and each of those 27 times, the law in question has been paused or put on hold until verification happens. And then once verification is certified, then the people get to vote. If for some reason we don't have a significant amount of signatures, then the law goes into effect. However, we know, because we've been doing sunshine requests of all the local election authorities, we know that we have the number of certified signatures or validated signatures that we need to put the referendum on the ballot. So we know that we will be voting no on HB1 in November. Cole County Circuit, that's a lot of words. Cole County Circuit Court decided that HB1 is in effect because the signatures have not been verified. The ACLU has appealed directly to the Missouri Supreme Court to ask for an injunction, and that case will be heard on May 12th. So even though we do have an update in that case, the fight is not over. And I think that's what's important for people to know. The other thing I want to make sure people know is that in 2022, after the 2020 census, the congressional maps were not finalized until late May of 2022. So they were also in litigation. They were also being challenged, and they were not certified until late May of 2022. During the election year. So we are right on track, and the oral arguments at the Supreme Court for the appeal will be heard on May 12th. We're right on track on the correct timeline to have these maps be finalized in May of 2020, 6 as we go into the next election cycle. So that's the updates right now.
So Jamie, appreciate that. I'm thinking though that you talked a lot about unprecedented moves and the fact that now the legislature can determine they want to have a redistricting vote anytime, not just like after the census, which was what was traditional. Now, it wasn't necessarily set in stone, it wasn't the law, but now it seems like it is. And so it makes me start to wonder about the need for us to be concerned about midterms, because we've already seen all this maneuvering and manipulation, almost illegal stuff, on the verge of being illegal, but certainly unethical and unfair. Does this also, you think, fit in with what's going to be happening on the national level as we start to see the other party get a little bit, you know, concerned about whether who's going to be in control of the Senate and the House come midterms?
Yes. Or
should we expect more of this?
So I think that one, I will say a great resource for this is Democracy Docket, I believe the website is. They have all the listed cases, legal cases that are happening in states all across the country. I do have to say that People Not Politicians is a nonpartisan campaign, but what we're seeing across the country mimics what's happening in Missouri. So you've got California that has done basically a gerrymander to get more Democratic seats because of what's happening in states like Arizona and Missouri and Florida and Texas. You've got, you know, those states that are looking at how to get more Republican seats. You've got the state of Virginia that is looking at how to get more Democratic seats. So it's basically a cause and effect. You know, we've got this ball that's rolling down the hill. It's like a big snowball. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yes, this is happening all across the country. So, and we've seen evidence of that both in legislatures either gerrymandering their states to the right or the left, and trying to balance out what is being done so that when we go into midterms, we can have some balance in our congressional delegations. So yeah,
and I'm glad you reminded me, Jamie, that the People Not Politicians is nonpartisan, because people know what's fair and unfair. You know, when they're looking at it, it's like, okay, when you start doing the tit for tat gerrymandering stuff, which happened when the president said, I need, you know, X number of votes from here. And so then California said, well, if you're going to do that, so are we. Where does this all end? And so I think when people look at it who believe in a democracy and who think democracy needs to be the framework in which we operate in, those are people going to be on both sides. Those are going to be independent voters. Those are going to be Republican voters. It's really not about trying to manipulate the system. It's like I strongly believe, whoever is the best organizer and they get the majority vote, okay, we got to live with that. And that means if you didn't like it, now you got to step up your organizing game and do something different. So, you know, but it does remind me that there are going to be more protests, and we've already seen it in this country just based on the plethora of injustices that are raining down on us on all levels. And so when we think about being able to protest, Kay, the right to protest, the right to peaceful protest, the Organization for Black Struggle and Jobs with Justice, this is probably our sixth year of fighting these state legislature on criminalizing protest. And so we've been watching three particular bills that have been, you know, moving or not moving, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So let's let our viewers and listeners hear about what those are and what they entail. What does it mean to criminalize a protester, and what happens to them if something happens where there's liability?
Yeah. Thanks, Jamala. I just want to start with, you know, I feel like this legislative session has been particularly, or maybe the last couple of years even, just a particular attack on democracy, on our democracy and our economy. And, you know, we've been watching there's four now that we're watching attack our right to protest, along with, you know, other attacks on the democracy, you know, a big attack on our economy with this effort to eliminate Missouri's income tax and replace it with a big sales tax. But these protest bills are, since 2017, we've been seeing this around the country. The US protest law tracker, I always refer back to, and they've tracked 350 bills in almost every state. And 24 of those have been in Missouri. And we, last year saw one of the bills that we were able to stop in the legislature would have criminalized, more than seven people as unlawful assemblies. And would have made disruptive protest a felony with mandatory jail sentences. And just shocking.
And I
And
just want to just put a pin in that for a minute, because disruption means that, for example, OBS and JWJ and people, not politicians, has a protest. Somebody not affiliated with our groups decides they want to throw a brick at a business. We would be held responsible for that. Anything that happens on a protest of ours will, whoever is the provocateur, whoever is causing the mischief, the organizers are going to be held accountable. And so that is part of the criminalization that Kay is talking about. So I just want you all to understand that this has real world implications, and it's putting a chill over, in some cases where it's more enforced, people's ability to come out and protest. Now, certainly we didn't see that with No Kings. Because people say, wait a minute, we don't give a damn. But, and it was just too many people. But if there's a smaller protest and there's that kind of mayhem, you could see organizers hauled off to jail.
exactly. Yeah. And, I think if I remember right in that bill from last year, like the disruptive part was sort of undefined, so left up to interpretation. And, we all know that sometimes people who are not even part of our, protest might be trying to disrupt and do counter protest. And, it might not even be someone affiliated with our protest that
Absolutely.
causes like a disruption, using air quotes for that. But the four bills this year, they all have a theme of removing the civil and criminal liability for drivers who hit protesters. And I know we're seeing that around the country, but talk about a chilling effect on protest. I mean, that is so extreme. So one of them, House Bill 2174, is solely focused on that. So sponsored by Chad Perkins, and it would remove civil and criminal liability for drivers who hit protesters. There's another one, House Bill 2555, that would also do that. But also, like you were saying, Jamala, puts a lot of this back on organizations that support protest. So this one would have opened the door, or would open the door if it moves forward, to re required reporting from protest organizers about the activity and the donors to their organization. So I'm not an attorney, but it does seem like this would be unconstitutional. But we have seen it, popping up in other parts of the country as well. But like you said, its intent is to intimidate us and to discourage protest. Another one, House Bill 3259, that one is about the property damage that could occur in a protest, like you were talking about. But this one, makes anyone who organizes or promotes or sponsors an assembly liable for any sort of property damage that occurs. So even someone who just shared something about a protest on their Facebook page could be charged under this law. It's really extreme. And then another one that was filed just a few weeks ago, right before the end of filing, targets campus protest. So it would require any public colleges and universities to adopt limitations on campus protest, and it threatens students' state financial aid if they violate the policy. So it has this specific policy that prohibits engaging in, and they define it as expressive activities between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. They prohibit erecting tents on campus, doing anything that's loud during class hours, and then it prohibits doing anything that they consider expressive in the last 2 weeks of a school term. And so the penalties are, threatening students' financial aid for 2 years if they are found to violate this policy.
And I bet you a dime to the dollar, these campus folks don't even know this. Because this is how this stuff does. They creep it in quietly and it becomes law. Then you find out about it when you start doing stuff. And just recently, there were a number of protests at Mizzou because the administration cut out all the funding for any groups associated with DEI. So the Legion of Black Collegians, one of the oldest in the country, oldest black student groups in the country, had their whole budget defunded. So there were protests. And so, here you thinking you out and doing your civic duty, and then somebody arrests you saying now you're in violation because that chanting was too loud. There's a class going on in A building. And so well, either way, where did this come from? So this is why this is important for people like Kay and it to be on the job, because I didn't even know about that last one. I knew about the other ones, but see, they snuck that one in around the students. And so again, we got to be careful how that we stay woke and that we disseminate this kind of information as widely as possible, so that all people who might be adversely affected know about it and know what the consequences are.
I also want to jump in for a second because I know that one of the bills that was sent in prep for this podcast had a section in there about receiving anything of value or being paid to attend the protest, and that person having to, the person who received that thing would have to register as a lobbyist in with the Missouri Ethics Commission, and then whoever the organization is that provided that thing would have to register as a lobbyist principal.
Okay,
That is
okay, okay.
also.
Jamie, just
Yes,
hold
ma'am.
up. Hold
Okay.
up. What the hell? So say that again slowly. Okay, give me an example. So if somebody gives me something before an organized protest.
Actually, I'll give you a perfect example. On March 10th, we had a rally. We called it a rally. We expressed that it was a rally in front of the Supreme Court. It was not adversarial. It was in support of the Supreme Court protecting our constitutional freedoms in Missouri. We gave away free t-shirts to people, to the first 100 people who attended. Our goal was to have 100 people. We ended up with 150 people. So there were at least 100 people who got a free t-shirt from our campaign for attending that rally. Those 100 people would have to register with the Missouri Ethics Commission as a lobbyist. And we, as people, not politicians, would have to register with the Missouri Ethics Commission as a lobbyist principal, which means the people who employ the lobbyists, the people who pay the lobbyists to advocate for them. That is ridiculous.
So
That is
I'm trying to
absolutely.
figure out though. I'm trying to figure out, Jamie. Now we've been doing this for a while. I've been down there and I've gotten t-shirts from the NAACP folks. I mean, that's what we do.
Lots of people get
Okay,
offered
so
free.
where is it? Why is it that that's considered lobbying and that you have to?
That part you would have to ask the bill sponsor, who as my experience would tell me, probably doesn't have an answer to that question
Probably.
because they don't think through the process and the practical implications of their legislation. That's my experience. So, but what it means is that you are now responsible to file regular ethics reports. You are now, as an attendee of a rally or a protest or whatever you want to term your event, as an attendee of that event, you are now responsible to file regular lobbyists, to file regular lobbyist reports, expense reports, donation reports, which you have none of because you literally just came to a rally and got a free t-shirt. You probably weren't even expecting a free t-shirt. You might have been expecting a free t-shirt, but you just showed up, somebody handed you a t-shirt and said, thanks for coming. And now you are responsible to the Missouri Ethics Commission, which, by the way, probably does not have the staff to handle this influx of new lobbyist registrations and tracking the reports and such. You are now responsible for filing regular ethics reports, reporting your income from this organization. And thus and so like I just to me it is a practice with legislators And sometimes they're on both sides of the aisle. Just, no, we're nonpartisan over here, but sometimes they're on both sides of the aisle who do not think through the practical application of the rule that they're putting in place. Another good example of not thinking through the practical applications is Senate Bill 152, the one that says that if you are contributing to a ballot initiative or IP that you have to declare that you have no affiliation with a national for international foreign interests or another country's foreign interests. Foreign national interest is the word that I'm looking for. Basically, that means that you have to declare, because you are putting money into the anti-gerrymandering campaign, you have to declare that you have no ties to Russia, that you have no ties to Iran, that you have no ties to these other countries that may want to cause us harm. Okay, that's fine. But the practical application of it became so cumbersome that the Republicans have now gone back this year in the legislature to fix SB 152 because they didn't like what they had to do for their ballot initiatives in as it relates to the Senate bill that they passed. So again, they're just not thinking through the practical application of the legislation that they are trying to pass, mostly because they don't write it themselves. But
Jamie, I think you're
that's
being
what
very generous with they
I
haven't
have been.
thought it through. I don't think they
Yes.
give a damn. I think they throw stuff at the wall and hope something sticks. And just because we connect the dots here, last week when Chairman O'Malley Yesitele was talking about why they ended up being indicted, it was because they were accused of not registering as lobbyists because of some kind of affiliation with Russia. So this is how this stuff becomes real. And
Yes.
you like you don't even you're not even aware of that. And the fact they lost on that count, Jamie.
Right.
So they got them on some other stuff, but they lost on that count. And that might have been what propelled these legislators to go back since they
Right.
lost on that one and
But
see how they can fine-tune it.
that's what I'm saying. Just imagine, as a layperson, you're just, you're a tradesperson, or you're somebody who had the day off and you want to support this event because it is values aligned. Somebody hands you a free t-shirt, and next thing you know, you're being indicted on charges from the Missouri Ethics Commission because you got a free t-shirt at an event that you attended. That's crazy. That's
That's
absolutely crazy.
absolutely crazy. Kay, I know there's some other anti-democratic stuff you've been watching because one of the things we know now is that people are trying, and when I say throw stuff at the wall, push through whatever they can so that when the midterm comes, they have secured all the policies, laws, and practices and money and programs that they think that they can get because they know that the tide is turning. So we are up against all this stuff around voting, around, all the legal constitutional things are being challenged right now. And so we have to be the democracy defenders. What else is on the chopping block, Kay?
Yeah, I mean, talking about, Jamie mentioned that special session back in September, the same session that legislators gerrymandered our maps, and they also attacked our citizen-driven initiative petition process that we've had for over 100 years, the same process that allowed us to collect signatures to send those maps to a vote of the people. We also can propose policies and take that to a vote of the people. HJR3, I think it was, during that special session, is now going to be on the ballot as Amendment 4 in November, and it eliminates majority rule in Missouri, our longstanding practice of majority rule. So it basically would allow about 3% of voters to determine whether a ballot proposal passes or not. So 3% of voters instead of the 50% plus one that we've historically always had. So that's going to be on the ballot. But then during this legislative session, we're also seeing some statutory attacks on democracy. If you think about, last year we saw this bill that we called Let Politicians Lie. It's called Senate Bill 22. And we referred to it as Let Politicians Lie because it's exactly what it did. When, so if we have an initiative petition, the Secretary of State writes the ballot summary, you know, what voters actually see on the ballot. It's like a 50 to 100 word summary that describes it. So you don't put the entire text of the bill on a ballot, which would be much too hard. So it's a short summary. The Secretary of State writes it, and the Let Politicians Lie Act allowed the Secretary of State to write it, the courts to say, wait, that's misleading or that's unfair, sent it back to the Secretary of State, wrote it again, went back to the courts three times before the courts finally step in and write it. And so that passed last year. And during that time, our Secretary of State, Denny Hoskins, every single ballot summary he wrote was determined fair, unfair, and misleading by courts. But the Supreme Court actually threw out Senate Bill 22 back in January. So that was thrown out. But some politicians in the legislature turned around and filed it immediately again. So now that's moving through the legislature. It's House Bill 3146. And it would just, you know, put that same process back in place, giving our Secretary of State three chances to lie about a ballot summary with the goal of just running out the clock.
Yeah,
So the
yeah,
goal
yeah.
of, you know, really is the goal is to mislead voters.
And I know, Kay, people have seen, because we got pl get plenty of calls. I don't know whether I should vote yes or no because it's so confusing. And sometimes if you vote no, you really wanted to vote yes, but it's so confusing. And in fact, they're going to be doing that with the abortion thing coming up. It's like it's so screwed up. That we be careful, y'all, because you're supposed to be voting no and the last time, and they're actually using the same ballot number, so it's super confusing. So we gotta get your plan ready when you get ready to vote. Know what it is, because these folks got tricks up their sleeves.
That's exactly right. They're just trying to trick us into giving away our rights. Just, you know, it's a goal of confusing and distracting us from their real agenda.
Yeah, wow. And so I still go back to what's happening on the national scene because, you know, our legislators up there in Washington are literally mirroring what's going on here in terms of how much they can deceive and trick and get through before folks realize, oh, we've been tricked, or that's what's happening with this bill. So when we're trying to get Missouri voters, and I just want to remind people about that referendum because that is that initiative referendum piece allows citizens when you can't get your government or your elected officials to put something for you that you think is right and righteous, then you as a citizen have the right to put it forward. You got to get those petitions, and as Jamie said, it's not easy and it's costly. It's costly, but you still have that right. And even that now is being threatened. But that's how you got the Medicaid expansion, because we pulled that together. That's how you got increased the state minimum wage. That you know, that's how we got the abortion bill on the ballot after they had just nixed it out legislatively. So that is an important tool that we have, that citizens have, that we have to protect by any means necessary. What else is going on, you all, that we need to be in the know about? And then we need to give people some assignments about how they can get involved, what they can do. Any kind of things coming up in terms of actions at the legislature, or you know, rallies, or you know,
Well,
what can we tell people they need to be doing in the interim?
yeah, I mean, for now, I would say also watching this everything tax plan. That's House Joint Resolution 173 and 174. This is the plan that's pushed by Governor Kehoe that would eliminate our income tax and replace it with this expanded sales tax, basically on everything that we spend money on. So, you know, like right now in Missouri, we don't pay a sales tax on most services, you know, like rent or medical services, car repairs, home repairs. So this bill would change that. And it's concerning on a lot of levels. I mean, first of all, it's a tax swap where, you know, we eliminate the income tax, but most of us pay more in this expanded sales tax. And the only people who are getting a break are the people at the very top. So Missouri's eight billionaires benefit really strongly from this, and maybe the top 20%, but the rest of us are expected to pay between $500 and $800 more a year, in just, how the tax in changing our taxes to sales tax. And people on a fixed income are expected to pay even more because a lot of their, pension or Social Security is already exempt from income tax. So this would be shifting their tax burden completely to expanded sales tax. So I think about my mom who, is on a fixed income on Social Security, and this would be a huge increase in her yearly expenses.
And Kay, the other thing is, we just passed overwhelmingly for the third time, I think, having the earnings tax, which is one third of the city's budget here. But one of those eight billionaires led the fight against that, and that was Rex Sinfield. Now, people have to be aware of who's pushing these things and why. Because if we get rid of the earnings tax, which provides the money for city services, streets, et cetera, trash pickup, yada yada, and then you eliminate income tax and you put that regressive tax on all the things we buy, that is such a vice, an economic vice that we are putting people in Missouri in that are already stressed. This is not like a state that has like a per capita income this high. I mean, we a poor state when it comes to those kinds of things. So the burden, and again, this is a page from the playbook that the MAGA folks are doing, shifting the burden to working class people where all the rich people get the break. Let's pay attention, y'all. Let's pay attention.
And then I want to add, we have another rally at the outside the Supreme Court coming up on May 12th. So we will not politicians. Has a rally. We will not be giving out free t-shirts. We don't
That
want
was going to be my question.
the laws. We don't
Y'all
want
give
the
me our
violation
t-shirts.
of constitutional laws. But we will be having a rally outside the Supreme Court, the court case that I mentioned earlier, MAGA versus the state of Missouri is the oral arguments are being heard on May 12th. So we are again seeking to rally outside of the Supreme Court and just let the politicians and the courts know that we are paying attention. We do know what's going on. We are informed, and we are not going to take a them trying to remove our constitutional protections lightly. We have the right to a referendum. We have the right to a clear path to the ballot, and the state needs to get out of the way.
So Jamie, I know the people, not politicians, have made the decision not to have those t-shirts. I think at some point we got to test that. We cannot let them tell us what we can or cannot do at a particularly when it doesn't mean what they think it means, and they know it doesn't mean that. So if I give you a t-shirt, and you know how organizations now they make a big thing about, our swag, and you need to buy this, you need to get this.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now, and in fact, that's part of how people are raising money. So at a certain point, we're going to have to test that, just like because what I see them doing, and a number of people have seen it as well, just like the police board has gotten the legislature to include in the bill that took state control of the St. Louis Police Department, if you are interfere in the business of the police, particularly if you are a elected official, you can be removed from office and be fined. What? Who? So you could see like they're chipping away at not just citizen participation, but also elected officials, the role and responsibility they have. So what does that mean that I am interfering if I'm an elected official? By me saying something that I disagree with, is that interfering?
But I
So
think the biggest,
we're telling people, y'all gotta yeah, we gotta test this because interference is such a broad term and subjective that any elected official by speaking out and saying, because right now we got a budget going on, and so there's lots of talk and lots of protests around the police board proposed budget. So what is
yeah, that's a
disruption? What is
very,
interruption?
That's a very specific example. I think the vagueness of some of these laws does need to be tested because that is one thing that as a former legislator, I was very familiar with just asking for definitions. What does disruption mean? What's the difference between a rally and a protest? When does a protest change over to a disruptive protest, quote unquote, and whose responsibility is it to make sure that doesn't happen? As the example you gave earlier, if somebody who's not affiliated with our group, does something, are we responsible for that? If somebody who is not affiliated, one of those bills that I read in prep for the podcast said about the vehicular, the one with the vehicles, that the person only needs to, the person inside the vehicle, the driver of the vehicle only needs to perceive, have some sense of perceived danger. Okay, well, you could feel danger from something that doesn't have anything to do with our protests or our rally. So how do you
Absolutely.
define these terms? What do they mean? And who do they affect? And leaving to
And
this,
Jamie, for a
people are
group
open
like
for so many things.
people like non-politicians, which is nonpartisan, if somebody's just wearing that t-shirt, how can you say that's lobbying? Now, it's different with the Organization for Black Struggle, and we had an event where we say, vote for this. That's different. That may be considered lobbying. But even Jobs with Justice, you all got two entities. One of them is the organization, the other one is the ability to lobby. So how are they going to differentiate what t-shirt means what and who's doing what? I just really I'm about ready to test that myself, okay? Because this is getting ridiculous, because now you're going to have people scared to even wear a damn t-shirt at a rally.
But I think the fear is the point, right? That is the point that we are adding this chilling effect, that we are adding these things, and for most of it, we know that it'll likely be challenged in court. We know that it won't pass muster as far as constitution. Like I think pulling students, federal student aid for attending a protest is a direct violation of their First Amendment right. So, we understand that there's risk associated with attending any of these things. Kay knows that there's risk associated with doing her job. I know that there's risk associated with doing my job, but those risks should not be an infringement on our basic rights, our basic constitutional rights, whether it's US Constitution or state constitution. The risk should not be associated with that, with the infringement on our rights. But that is the point. The fear, the instilling of fear, the instilling of confusion, the instilling of delay, all of those things are the point. So, we're at a place where, Second Amendment folks say all the time that they want to hang on to their firearms to protect from tyranny of government. Hey, honey, this is tyranny of government.
So let's come locked and loaded, huh? Yeah, but it does get a little bit frightening, because when we see in some cases the judicial is not upholding aspects of the law, whether it be constitutional or state statutes, that part then we I think we the line gets wavy, and we wonder like who is going to protect us, because that really is the last stop. When we appeal to the judiciary and they say, oh, the legislature can hold do a map anytime they want to. Really? What? I mean, some of it is just like you just can't imagine what's going on, but it's part of the bigger picture of authoritarianism. And that is, you muzzle people, you keep them from
Getting out of line.
exercising their right to dissent, and then you just be a docile group of people just going along with the state. And that is not what's going to happen. So we proved that folks can use the voting as a tool, but even that's being attacked. And so I think going into the midterm, is there anything on the books, Kay, that is going to make it harder for us to vote? Are they shutting down polling sites? And I know this man wants to do away with mail-in voting, even though he did it twice. For the rest of us, he wants to eliminate that. Anything on the horizon that deals with voting rights?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything at the state level that I know about as an immediate threat. I don't know, Jamie, if you have.
I haven't heard anything concrete. There's been a whole lot of conspiracy theories. Well, I won't say conspiracy theories. There's been a whole lot of speculation, I will say, about, like, for instance, ICE being deployed to polling sites, or National Guard being deployed to polling sites. We have yet to see any movement on that. But the conversation is being had. How do we prepare for that? Because we've seen what they've been doing in the streets of Minneapolis, and the streets that people are talking about way less, Memphis. Memphis is currently occupied with ICE and National Guard. So we're seeing what they're doing there, and fully anticipate that there will be some type of measure launched around midterms. We just don't know what it is yet or what it will look like, but we are preparing for the worst, as we always do, and hoping for the best, of course.
Yeah, it's lots more to talk about, but this is it for us. This hour has come to an end, and I really want to thank both of you all, not just for coming on the show, but also for keeping your ears and eyes open on behalf of citizens like us, because we just can't keep up with this stuff if we didn't have y'all out there doing it. So thank you for that. And if we need to have some more updates, I'll try to get that to people. But let's just let them know what your websites are for more information, or either your Facebook page if that's the most up-to-date information. Kay, how do people find out more about what's going on with what you're doing?
Yeah, awesome. I think we have the best place to sign up is to be a democracy defender on our website. So it's MoJ with J, well, MoJWJ.org/issues/democracy. And so you can go there to sign up to be a democracy defender, and we'll keep you up to date on all of these attacks on democracy that are moving through the legislature. And thanks so much, Damala, for having us on today.
Jamie, where should we go for information, even about that rally that's coming up?
Yes, absolutely. So our website is People Not Politicians, all spelled out, MO, People Not Politicians, MO.org. But the best place to get signed up with our events is our Mobilize page. So you can go on mobilize.org, and then just do a search for People Not Politicians. It will come up. And the first thing you will see on that page is a pledge to fight gerrymandering, and also the event on May 12th.
Okay, thanks so much. Next week, you all, we're going to have two sisters on here that will be talking about Black maternal health, because Black women still are having issues with, delivering babies. I know people think we can drop babies anytime, but that's not what the stats are showing. So we got two organizations that have been dealing with this, and we'll have them on next week. So don't miss that. If you miss anything, you can go to my website at jamalarogers.com, or if it's a visual, the video is at my YouTube channel on YouTube. So just go there and put in Jamala Rogers. But we don't want you to miss anything. We don't want you, and we want you to be able to access stuff that you didn't quite remember what happened or didn't quite hear what happened. It's all there. So again, stay woke. Stay safe. This is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield. Thank you for joining us.
We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing.